Psalm 20 verses 6 to 9. But I'll read the whole psalm to you, Psalm 20. There are 9 verses. And then we will go into the study of the verses 6 to 9. Psalm 20 verses 1 to 9. To the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Now we said that Psalm 20 is a prayer before the battle. A prayer before the battle. And Psalm 21 is giving of praise after the victory. Giving of praise after the victory. Psalm 20 deals with prayer and winning the victory. And Psalm 21 deals with praise and holding the victory. If we trust the Lord, we will move through trouble to thanksgiving. Now we must not forget that David was fighting the Lord's battles. So how does all this apply to us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember that David was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the commander of the Lord's armies. Remember Joshua chapter 5 verses 13 to 15. I mentioned this last Sunday morning in the worship service too. Joshua 5 verses 13 to 15. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Jesus Christ, the commander of the Lord's armies, will ride in victory over the armies of the world. Our Lord Jesus is described in the book of Revelation as the warrior. Revelation 17 verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. Today, through his church, the Lord Jesus Christ wages war against evil, against sin, against sickness and disease. The church is called to manifest God's kingdom on earth, and we as God's children are to seek God's kingdom above everything else in our lives. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus has already conquered death for us, and every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is freed from the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 to 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Psalm 20 describes three essentials needed for victory as God's people fight against the forces of evil. Number one, a praying people. We must be a praying people, verses 1 to 5. Number two, there must be faithful leadership, verses 6 to 8. Number three, we must rest in the sovereign Lord, verse 9. Now we looked at verses 1 to 5 last time, a praying people, verses 1 to 5. And we will look at nine more factors that are essential for triumph, for victory in this battle against the enemy. And then we will come back to Psalm 20, verses 6 to 9. Number one, the first essential needed for victory is prayer and the word of God. And that's what we looked at in verses 1 to 5. A praying people. Prayer releases God's power. We fight against the enemies of the Lord in prayer. We were once bound. We were once bound by these three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 3 mentions these three enemies. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So here are the three enemies: the world, the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil himself, and the flesh, which is the sinful nature which we are born with. So what happened on the cross? The Lord Jesus Christ included us in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. Therefore, we can reckon ourselves dead to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and alive unto God. Our three enemies are not dead, but we died to all of them when Christ died on the cross. He died as our substitute. He died as our representative. And we died with him to the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world system, society without God, is not dead, but we are dead to the world. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The sinful nature, the flesh, which we are born with, the sinful nature is not dead, but we died to the sinful nature. We died to the flesh. Romans 6 verses 10 to 12. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. The word sin there is the flesh, the nature of sin that we are born with. We are dead to the nature of sin. The nature of sin is not dead, but we died to the nature of sin. The devil is not dead, but we are dead to the devil. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the power of the devil to grip us is broken. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So we have been delivered from the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil are alive, but we are dead to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's Son. Colossians chapter 1 verses 13 to 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So when we pray, we must pray according to the word of God. What God has said in his word, what God has done for us through Jesus Christ his Son, that we must take into account by faith. When we pray, we must pray according to the word of God. God's word is the source. God's word is the source of our wisdom and strategies against the enemy. God's word is the source of our understanding of the warfare in which we are involved. Every believer who desires to enjoy victory and liberty must take time diligently to study the word of God, to meditate upon the word of God. And we must ask God for revelation from his word to fight this battle. Psalm 119 verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. The word of God and prayer go together. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 speaks about God's word. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God and prayer go together. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 17 to 18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You see there, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then praying at all times in the Spirit. So, the word of God and prayer go together. The second essential factor to triumph is total surrender to God. Total surrender to God. Before David and his army fought the battle, they worshipped God. They worshipped God. Just like Joshua fell at the feet of the commander of the Lord's army. He fell prostrate and worshipped him. When we worship the Lord, we are empowered by His Spirit to fight the battle. So David and his army fought the battle, but before that they worshipped God. And that affected the battle plan and victory. God intervened. Psalm 20 verse 3. May He remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. David's burnt sacrifices, burnt offerings, indicated total surrender to God in worship. And today we surrender our bodies to God as living sacrifices in worship, spiritual worship. Romans 12 verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So if you're not walking with the Lord continually, we can't fight this battle when the enemy comes. The third factor for victory is unity. David and his army had one goal, God's victory. The battle is the Lord's and the victory is His. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Psalm 20 verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So David and his army had one joy, one goal and one joy. To serve God and to do His will. And the tribes of Israel were a picture of unity. They had one army assembled from 12 tribes. So we don't fight the enemy single-handed. We fight the enemy together as one body. The fourth essential for victory is faith. Our faith is not in faith. A person who has faith in faith is like the man who throws the anchor into the boat when the storm is raging. Our faith is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who calms the storm as we completely trust in Him, as we surrender to Him in worship. Mark chapter 4 verses 39 to 40. And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Have you still no faith?" Psalm 20 verse 6. Now I know the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. The Hebrew word used here means He has saved. He has saved. That means God has already given David the victory. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So we must appropriate this victory that we have in Christ by faith and experience that victory through faith. Now the sad situation of the church at large today is that it trusts in all kinds of horses and chariots instead of trusting in the Lord. And that is the problem that the church is going through. The Lord is therefore chastening His church in love. Worldwide, this is what is happening. The Lord is chastening His church in love and drawing us back to Himself so that we will not trust in these horses and chariots, so that we will put our trust completely in the Lord and the Lord alone, and that we will not put our trust in any crutch or support other than the Lord Himself. The fifth essential for victory is obedience. David and his army obeyed God's will. Psalm 20 verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Psalm 20 verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. The day of trouble. Verse 1. Psalm 20 verse 1. The day of trouble that is mentioned there in verse 1 of Psalm 20. It can become a day of victory and thanksgiving if we trust and obey the Lord. This trust is expressed through prayer, through surrender, through unity, through faith and obedience. The sixth essential for victory is endurance. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God uses ordinary people to accomplish His purposes. God uses ordinary people to accomplish His purposes. Our ability to endure hardship comes because of God's grace. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Ephesians 2 verse 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So your position in Christ is above all principality and power. Don't forget that. Your position in Christ is above all principality and power. You must therefore see who you are in Christ and exercise your position in Christ while you practice on earth. Philippians chapter 4 verse 12 to 13. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So when you know who you are in Christ, when you know your position in Christ, then you can face every circumstance, no matter how difficult it may be. You can face those circumstances with the strength and the grace that comes from Christ. And he gives you the grace and the strength for endurance. Number 7, the 7th essential for victory is hatred. Hatred. Psalm 139 verse 22. I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. We must hate evil as God hates it, because we are God's children and we reflect his likeness. We must hate our real enemies. We must love the enemy that we see, but we must hate our real enemies. And who are our real enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Hatred means dislike or antipathy or loathing. We must have a hatred towards evil and evil spirits and have nothing to do with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. The 8th essential for victory is not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 10 and 11. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his designs. For we are not ignorant of his designs. Unforgiveness is an open door for demonic activity. Also, toying with sin, playing with sin, opens the door to demonic activity. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The 9th essential for victory is persistence. Persistence. Psalm 18 verse 37. I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back till they were consumed. Persistence is the ability to go on resolutely in spite of oppression. We press on. We must be persistent. We must be persistent in dealing with the enemy. James chapter 4 verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The 10th essential for victory is separation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. I read here from the New King James Version. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I read again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. If we are to fight the real enemy, then we must live sanctified lives, lives that are set apart unto God. And this is absolutely essential for victory. Now let's come back to Psalm 20. We said that Psalm 20 describes 3 essentials for victory as God's people fight against the forces of evil. Number 1, we must be a praying people, verses 1 to 5. Number 2, there must be faithful leadership, verses 6 to 8. Number 3, we must rest in the sovereignty of the Lord, verse 9. We looked at praying people, now we look at faithful and confident leadership. It has been said that everything rises and falls with leadership. David was a leader chosen and trained by God as a shepherd boy. In Psalm 20 verse 1, the people had prayed, may the Lord hear. Psalm 20 verse 1, they're praying for the king, they're praying for David. Psalm 20 verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Now King David speaks and he assures the people that he is confident of success because the Lord has chosen him. The Lord has anointed him and empowered him. God has chosen him, meaning God has anointed him and heard his prayers. The people prayed in verse 1, may the Lord hear. David replies in verse 6, he will hear. Psalm 20 verse 6, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Psalm 20 verse 2 says, may he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. Psalm 20 verse 2. Now in verse 6, David is saying, the Lord will not only send you help from Zion, but also from the very throne room of heaven. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Psalm 20 verse 6. We have seen how God's hand had reached out and saved David in the past. Remember Psalm 18 verses 9 to 18. I read to you Psalm 18 verses 9 to 18. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke. The foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. Just as God's hand had saved David from his enemies in the past, David is saying that his hand would do it again. It is important to take note of the fact that in the covenant that God made with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God had promised David success in battle. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 10 and 11, and I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. So God had promised in the covenant that God made with David, God had promised that he will be given rest from his enemies. And David, he knew that promise because that was what God had told him, and David claimed that promise by faith. It is so important for us to receive the promises that God has for us in his word. God has so many promises for us in the scripture, and we can trust God and we can trust him to fulfill those promises because all those promises are ours in Christ Jesus. Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, was the enemy coming with horses and chariots? There was no need to fear. There was no need to fear. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Israel's faith was in the Lord. When the king of Syria came to attack Elisha, we read in 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 8 to 18. And I read to you 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 8 to 18. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. You see that? So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with him." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. You can go back and read the rest of the narrative. So there is no need to fear these horses and chariots. Now the kings of Israel were commanded not to acquire great numbers of horses and chariots. Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 16 says, "Only he must not acquire many horses for himself, or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again." And only he must not acquire many horses. The he there is the king of Israel. He's not supposed to acquire a great number of horses. He's not supposed to acquire great numbers of horses and chariots. Solomon disobeyed that law. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 26. "And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem." The law of warfare for Israel mentions that there are horses and chariots. Horses and chariots will come against Israel. Deuteronomy 20 verse 1. "When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Exodus chapter 15 verses 3 and 4. "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea." Psalm 33 verses 16 and 17. "The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue." So this is why it is so important for us as children. The children of Israel were told not to trust in horses and chariots. The king was told very clearly not to acquire horses and chariots. Solomon disobeyed that. And that was one of the reasons of his pride and his fall. And we today must not depend on any such human resource. God's people do not boast in their human resources. They boast in God alone, who can save them in every situation. And this is what the Lord wants us, his church, to depend on. We need to depend on him and him alone. Every other crutch he will take away. He will break it if you depend on it. And that, I believe, is what God is doing across the globe today in chastening his church, purifying his church, preparing his church for the great harvest that lies ahead of us. God's people do not boast in their human resources. They boast in God alone, who can save them in every situation. Romans chapter 8 verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And this kind of faith is what honors the name of the Lord. This faith honors the name of the Lord. The enemy will certainly go down in defeat when the enemy sees our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who fights our battles. So number one, we must be a praying people, verses 1 to 5. Number two, faithful leadership, verses 6 to 8. Number three, resting in the sovereignty of the Lord, verse 9. Resting in the sovereignty of the Lord. These are the three essentials of victory described in Psalm 20, and we saw many more in the course of our study. Psalm 20 verse 9 declares that the Lord is sovereign because he hears prayer and he is able to answer. Psalm 20 verse 9. I read from the New King James Version. "Save, Lord, may the king answer us when we call." In the New King James Version is very correct in this translation of this verse, because it uses the capital letter K for king. Notice king is in capital letters, meaning the Lord. The Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The prayer book version of Psalm 20 verse 9 reads, "Save, Lord, and hear us, O King of Heaven, when we call upon thee. Psalm 20, verse 9. King David, the people and the army of Israel acknowledge the sovereignty of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the real King of Israel. Psalm 95, verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 24, verse 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So the Lord is the one who gives us the victory and he determines the outcome of the battle. Therefore, we must learn to trust and rest in his sovereignty. Never find fault with God when things seem to be going wrong. Check the checklist. There are so many essentials that are needed for us to be victorious. So trust and rest in the sovereignty of the Lord. He is in control and he knows what he is doing. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the captain of the heavenly armies. He fights our battles and we can rest in him. Praise the Lord.